Welcome to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 CCL Football Game of the Week. The CCL Football Game of the Week is brought to you by the Mount Carmel Foundation. Your play-by-play announcer tonight is Randy Reinhart, along with color analyst Coach Larry Wolf. The CCL Silver title is on the line tonight as DeSales hosts St. Charles. And now here's Randy Reinhart and Larry Wolf with the CCL Football Game of the Week.
And good evening, and yes, we have football weather for the first time this season. Overcast, cloudy, dreary. These are the kind of nights that high school football fans dream of, as long as you don't sit in the stands and you listen to the game on AM 820. But Larry, tonight in this contest, we have two teams apparently going in opposite directions. Everybody tries to talk about a homecoming for Bob Jacoby. There's a lot more to think about tonight than just that, isn't there?
It's not really going to be much of a homecoming for him. I mean, he's coming back to DeSales, obviously, but his concern isn't DeSales. His concern is his own team, and he's got to get them righted and do the right things and all that good stuff. But DeSales is a juggernaut. And they're just coming down the tracks, and it's just, you know, they're ready to notch their belt and get on to game 10, because this game, on paper, looks like a mismatch.
And this is the CCL Silver Championship game, as the Cards come in with a mark of 2-6 on the campaign. And the Sales at 8-0 and number one of the state, Division Three, also number one in Division Three, Region 11. When we come back, we will hear from both head coaches, but first we'll step aside and remind you this is the CCL Game of the Week presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Get 0% financing for 72 months on almost all remaining 2016 Ford vehicles at Bob Boyd Ford in Lancaster. This is Bobby Dawes, and for a limited time, you can buy a new 2016 Ford F-150, the best-selling vehicle in the world, and pay 0% up to 72 months. Shop us 24/7 at BobBoyd.com and experience for yourself. The best deals are always on Route 33 at the Bob Boyd Auto Family. Good people, great deals. It's the Bob Boyd way.
Because from the moment we meet, you become the most important patient we could possibly have. It's why we'll go above and beyond today. And go even further tomorrow. Because caring for you is an honor and a blessing. At Mount Carmel, you are the reason for everything we do. You are why we seek the best people, with the highest levels of skill, training, and experience, and why we invest in the best equipment, from life-saving technology to healing spaces with all the comforts of home, so you can get better, so you can live, work, play, love. Mount Carmel, because of you.
Education First Credit Union offers our members a variety of products and services to meet all their financial needs.
Since 1936, our values haven't changed. It's always been about putting our members' financial best interests first.
Becoming a member of Education First Credit Union is easy.
Simply visit us online, in person, or give us a call. Together, we are better.
Education First Credit Union is an equal housing lender and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
And welcome back to the pregame show, joined now by the head coach of the Cardinals, Bob Jacoby. And Bob, give us an overview of the season, because you kind of are a sandwich team. We got you at the beginning of the season, and now we get you at the end. How have things gone in the weeks in between?
Well, it really hasn't gone any different from start to this current week. We've had some shining moments, and then we've had some really large mistakes, and we haven't been able to shake those mistakes.
Let's talk about your offense. How have they played so far the last few weeks?
Just inconsistent. We'll have moments where we do really well, and then we've had a lot of opportunities squashed by the turnover bug.
And let's take a look on the other side of the football. Are you still playing the same base with that 4-3 look on defense?
Yeah, we are, and we're trying to play an aggressive style of defense, and it's worked out well for us for the most part. But, again, mistakes have plagued us. We have not been able to stop the big play, and everybody knows, you know, if you give up the big play, you're about one mistake away from losing the game. So we've kind of shot ourselves in the foot that way.
What has gone well for the team in the last few weeks?
Well, to be honest with you, our guys have done a great job of keeping their attitude. It's it's amazing when you have this kind of adversity that we're facing, and facing some of the opponents, that our guys are willing to come out there and work extremely hard, keep a positive attitude, and have fun. And I really mean that. You don't know what they're saying when they're away from here, but you can kind of gauge it by their work ethic, and their work ethic has really been high.
You think that's a reflection of their head coach?
I don't know. I think it's a reflection of the families they come from and the kind of kids they are. But, I'm trying to do the right things and help be a good leader. So hopefully we're all working together to try to do the best we can.
Let's talk about the contest tonight. Obviously, it's a question you're going to hear a million times. You go back to DeSales to take on the Stallions. What thoughts go through your mind as you head into Alumni Stadium?
Well, first of all, I think for me, it's more about our kids. If this is about me, it's just going to be something that people really aren't interested in. DeSales has a really good team. Our team's trying to show that we can compete at a high level, and that's what I really want the focus to be on. It'll be a little bit strange being over at DeSales for me, but those coaches over there, I've either coached with them or coached them or coached their sons, and so there's a lot of positive relationships there, and this is just a great high school football game, and DeSales is going to have a great year the rest of this year, so we wish them the best except for tonight.
And we wish you the best tonight, Coach.
Thanks a lot, Randy.
More of the pregame show just around the corner. This is the CCL Game of the Week, is presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? Then let State Farm agent Kevin Smith help you simplify and get to a better state. Because with Kevin Smith handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time to handle everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies can earn you discounts that could add up to 40% and actually help you get ahead. Call State Farm agent Kevin Smith in Columbus today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Position yourself for success at Ohio Dominican University.
With an outstanding academic reputation, ODU offers an education that produces graduates grounded in faith, values, and ethics.
Ranked in the top tier of U.S. News and World Report's rating of Midwest universities, Ohio Dominican offers a wide range of academic programs that are in demand in today's marketplace.
Whether you're launching your career or preparing for grad school, ODU is here to position you for future success.
Connect your passion with a purpose.
Learn more at ohiodominican.edu.
Malik & Malik, a family-owned law firm that provides quality and compassionate legal representation in the Columbus, Ohio region for people who have suffered injuries and deserve proper compensation. Our Columbus, Ohio attorneys are dedicated to helping you recover your rightful compensation for job-related and worker compensation injuries, as well as injuries resulting from car and truck accidents, dog bite claims, and more. Visit us at maliklawfirm.com.
Hi, I'm Mike DeAndrea from Miracle Motor Mart. Our pricing is about half of new. Think about it. If we sell you a product at a great price and it is very reliable, well, that makes you a happy customer. Which explains why over the past few years, Miracle Motor Mart has become the largest independent dealer by the number of vehicles sold in the state of Ohio. Listen, go to miraclemotormart.com. You'll be glad you did.
And welcome back to the pregame show. Joined now by the head coach of the Stallions, Ryan Wiggins. And Ryan, assess the team's performance the last couple weeks since the last time we had you on AM 820. How have things fared for the Stallions?
They fared pretty well in terms of wins and losses. We've scored a lot of points. We've done fairly well in the turnover margin. We've played good defense. We've played good team football. I mean, I think that's the reason we're able to keep winning. But still a long way to go. We had faced a little adversity, which was good for our team, and against Edgewood, our offense was able to punch back, keep us in the game at 21-all, and then we took over in the second half in all phases of the game. So, we've been tested a little bit. We've had to deal with some injury. We've been through some things now heading into the ninth week that hopefully are making our team better, and to come out of all that and still be 8-0 and playing for a championship and heading for the playoffs is all positive stuff for us.
Can you talk about the growth of some of the guys in the offensive backfield as well?
Really impressed with Alonzo. I mean, obviously he's the one who stands out with the amount of yards he's had, his work ethic and his leadership and things that he's really stepped up this year. And we've seen results on the field, really matured. Love the maturity of Brian Asamoah, and he continues to grow. Cole Silvestri, who was an inexperienced guy, is now gaining a lot of experience. Our lines played well, very collective. I mean, we've scored a ton of points as an offense using different personnel groupings and still maintaining our identity of running the ball downhill. So I'm pretty proud of that unit.
And your defense is not a Rodney Dangerfield defense out there. I mean, they get respect as well, too. But talk about their play the last couple of weeks.
It's been pretty good. There's times when we could have played better, especially against Edgewood. They did some things early on, and we weren't playing as well as we should have played or needed to play. But I give them some credit for that, too. But I just think defensively, we're pretty cohesive. We have some guys out there that have played for a while. Ryan Corcoran, for example, our middle linebacker, is a three-year starter. Jared Noble in the back end taking charge. And Luke Barber, Drew McLucky, Darius Mullins up front. Playing cohesive, playing together. It's been good, and the result's been good. I hope we can keep it going.
Question I'm sure you've been asked a multitude of times. We'll ask it one more time. Bob Jacoby comes here. With all the ties you've had to him in the past, what thoughts go through your mind tonight?
You know, really, I talked with Coach this week. I have ultimate respect for him, and I think the only thing that matters about him coaching and me coaching is that we know a little bit about one another and their styles. I know their team will be well coached. I know they'll be physical and they'll be tough. But as for him and I really don't think it has a lot to do with the overall game, because think of the questions you answer week to week. It's always about players and schemes and that kind of thing. So I think that gets overplayed a little bit. You know, him and I are close and always will be.
Coach, good luck tonight.
Okay, thanks.
More of the pregame show just around the corner. This is the CCL Game of the Week. It's presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Hello, everyone. Dino Carfagna here for Carfagna's Kitchen and Family Restaurante. Carfagna's offers the best in casual full-service Italian dining, featuring authentic handmade pastas, pizzas, strombolis, gourmet salads, and grilled sandwiches. Weekly specials include Monday's $5 bottle house wines, Wednesday $1 glass wine night, and Thursday's featuring thick cut prime rib with two sides for under $19. Come and visit Carfagna's Kitchen at 2025 Polaris Parkway, just one block off I-71. And as always, go Stallions!
Knights of Columbus Insurance, world's most ethical company, as recognized by the Ethisphere Institute, offering life, long-term care, and disability insurance, along with IRAs and Roth IRAs. Knights of Columbus, a trusted insurance agency with the AM Best A++ Superior Ratings. Contact their general agents, James Valent and Chad Osterholt, at kfc.org.
This is Bobby Dawes for Bob Boyd Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Lancaster, where the deals have never been better than during the Ram Power Days. Save up to $11,000 on new 2016 Ram Crew Cab 4x4s or get 0% financing for 72 months on all new 2016 Ram 1500s. Shop us 24/7 at bobboyd.com. Come see us at Bob Boyd Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Lancaster, where the best deals you'll see are always on Route 33. Good people, great deals. It's the Bob Boyd way.
The CCL Silver Division title is on the line tonight in our CCL football game of the week as DeSales welcomes St. Charles to Alumni Stadium. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the CCL football game of the week. Ryan Baker back in the AM 820 studios. Let's get you caught up on what's going on here for week 9 for the area Catholic teams. Waterston is on the road taking on Zanesville. Reedy, they travel to Meadowbrook tonight. Fisher Catholic looks for their second win at Harvest Prep, and Newark Catholic is on the road at Northridge. Tomorrow night, Hartley looks to improve to 7-2 on the road at Lima Central Catholic. Some big games in the area for week 9 as well. We'll try to keep you up to date on those throughout the night. Lancaster at Pickerington North, Pick Central at Reynoldsburg, Olentangy Orange is at Olentangy Liberty, Hilliard Bradley on the road at Worthington Kilbourne, Franklin Heights is at New Albany tonight, Columbus West is at Eastmore in a big City League battle, and Bexley is on the road at Columbus Academy tonight. Don't forget, get all your area scores after the game. Lee Cochran and myself with the AM 820 Scoreboard Show presented by This Week Sports. Tweet us your scores at AM 820 Scoreboard and visit our website, am820scoreboard.com. Let's head out to Alumni Stadium right now to Randy Reinhart and Larry Wolf for the call of tonight's CCL football game of the week.
Ryan, thank you very much, and we're honored to have you aboard here on AM 820. St. Charles won the toss, and they have deferred to sales to receive going from right to left. in this contest. Are you surprised that St. Charles deferred and waited to get the football?
Yeah, I thought they'd take the ball. Except, you know, with the DeSales kicking game, they're going to get it at the 20 because he's going to kick it out of the end zone. So at least this way, if they stop DeSales on the first drive, they got a chance to get it at midfield, so it shortens the field.
Temperature is allegedly 50. Huh. With the wind, it feels like 44. Actually feels colder than that. Cloudy skies, wind from the northwest gusting to 21 miles an hour. And our referee tonight is Brett Fox, umpire Todd Lucas, linesman is Mike Williams, line judge is Mark Powell, and the back judge is Mike Milligan. And when you talk about the series, obviously it's been domination by DeSales. When you look at it, they lead the series 40-4. Last year they won 28-6. 2 years ago, DeSales won 40-0. 3 years ago, St. Charles won 36-0. That was on October the 4th, 2013. The prior time that St. Charles won, you have to go all the way back to October the 9th, 1976. The last time before that, the Cards won this football game. So we'll find out what happens here tonight. Bob Jacoby, the longtime head coach at DeSales, now comes back to be on the visitor sideline for the first time. And the ball's teed up at the 40-yard line as we get ready to start this contest. Clayton Anderson with the honors. Saw some time last year when Will Graber was injured with a separated shoulder. Had a 28-yard field goal against Waterson in overtime to win it, and he approaches the football, and we are underway, and the return is going to start from the 4-yard line for the Stallions.
Oh, they've got a wall set up.
Velasquez coming to the near side, up the sidelines, but he stepped out of bounds just across the 20-yard line. He had the wall, Larry, but it was so far from where he caught it on the far right side to go far left. By the time he got there, the Cards able to pinch and push that east and west instead of north and south.
Well, they had the wall set up on the numbers. The problem is that they waited for the St. Charles defenders to come get the wall. The wall needed to move in to give him a little more room on the sidelines.
In the interior five for the Stallions, it is James Gilmore, Joe DeSantis, Daniel Walsh, Omar Vargas, and Drew McLucky. In the backfield, it is Alonzo Booth to start this contest, along with Ty Van Fossen from the eye. Silvestri, the quarterback under center on this first down play. A toss it to Booth, has a gap off the left side, 20, 25, 30, all the way up to the 35-yard line before he's brought down. Wide receiver, Chris McNally alternating with Joe Arnold. And the tight end, when they use one, will be Patrick Moriarty or Ryan Corcoran. And the other running back we'll see a lot of tonight will be Brian Asamoah.
DeSales came out with double tights on the first play to just balance up the St. Charles defense and try to poke a hole in it, and they did.
Gain of 13 on the play, first and 10. For the Stallions from their 35-yard line, we are 30 seconds into this contest. Backs offset now. And Silvestri on the quick out. Pass incomplete. It floats out there and got nowhere near Chris McNally, the intended wide receiver.
As soon as he went back to throw, he got drilled, and he got drilled by Kevin Leary. He did a nice job of blitzing that time from the middle linebacker spot, and he hit the quarterback just as he was throwing. So that ball was well to the right.
Up front for the Cards in that 4-3 base is Eric Cawthorn along with Grant Griffith, Stephen Cottrell, and Maxwell Congrove. Kevin Leary, Greg Scarpetti, and Ian Klingler are the linebackers. We'll give you the secondary in a second. This time it is Booth on the handoff right up the middle, and there is nothing there. The Cards shut that down. Two guys came through right away, and leading the charge for St. Charles was big number six to make the hit, and that is Stephen Cottrell.
St. Charles lined up with a double A-gap blitz that time, which means that both middle linebackers are lined up off the shoulders of the center, and they both came through the inside gaps. There's no place to run.
In the secondary for the Cards, it is Joseph Rivera along with Peter Griffith at the corners. The safeties are Zach Franz along with Davion Johnson, who was out for a period of time this season with a couple of different injuries, including a broken hand he got on the opening kickoff against Upper Arlington, a game we did in week number one. Blitz on the play. St. Charles violated the neutral zone, so I think we'll have an encroachment on the defense. And mark off 5 yards against the Cards. They try to anticipate, but Brett Fox says, nope, you left too soon.
That's a penalty St. Charles really couldn't have, because now it puts the Sales in very comfortable third and five. I mean, third and five, they can do anything they want, and they'll probably run the football here because they can.
Asamoah in the backfield along with Booth. Now they're offset. Asamoah the deep back.
They've got strength down here to the bottom.
That's where the wing is, and that's the side that Asamoah goes to. Now cuts it back the other way. Has all day to run. 40, 35. Asamoah with the high kick, trying to get by two defenders. Still on his feet. Brought down inside the 15 at the 14-yard line. He did the drum major strut at the 25 in that bottom and every 10 yards.
Well, Davion Johnson's been playing with a broken hand all season. Davion was the last defender down there trying to make the tackle, and he just basically strutted to change arms on him, and he did that and got past Davion.
47 yards on the gain. They say his knee touched right at the 15-yard line. It'll be first down and 10 from there with 10:23 left to go here in the first quarter, and the Stallions on a third down convert big time, picking up nearly 50 yards. They've got McNally wide to the top.
It's Booth time.
Arnold to the bottom. Toss goes to the short side. Alonzo Booth inside the 10, inside the 8. Lost the football. It floats free at around the 6-yard line. Let's see who's got it. Two players, one from each side, struggling for the football. I think the Stallions maintain possession. On the bottom of the pile for DeSales, it looks to be
Daniel Walsh, I think.
Yep. Coming up with the football.
Well, the offensive center started the play, and he finished the play.
So Walsh gets the football.
Gain of 6 on the play.
A 6 foot, 225-pound junior was struggling for the football there.
I think he just wanted it back to snap it again, that's all.
Cuts out the middleman, right?
Yeah, sure.
Second down and 2 from around the 7-yard line with 9:32 left to go. Peaks in motion. Toss goes to Booth. He slipped down at around the 8-yard line, and now they say he lost the ball in the pile again. St. Charles claims they have it, but our referee and our linesman say no, still belongs to DeSales. Well, you look at the numbers for Alonzo Booth on the season. 134 carries, 1,521 yards, 11.4-yard average, 24 touchdowns, and he's lost one fumble on the campaign.
Well, he's having a great year, and from what we understand, he may have a chance to set the all-time record for DeSales running back. We'll see. We'll see how that turns out.
It's going to be third down and 3 from back of the 8 now with Asamoah, the deep man. Booth up tight, and you toss it now to Asamoah. Yes, they do. He goes right off the right side, inside the 5 to the 4 to the 3. Brian finds the gap on the right side. Not quite that Hartley toss, but close to it. Off the right side and has a first and goal.
Here comes the beef. They're taking out a bunch of skilled players and putting in two additional offensive linemen.
Darius Mullins is one of them, by the way. This big guy on the defense who goes 6'5 and 320.
Yeah, sure he does.
And change.
Yeah, there you go.
A man that's going to the cream and crimson next year to play for Indiana. Backs offset again. Booth is the deep man. Alonzo's got it off left side, churns and got it inside the 1, and that's about it. Does not break the plane. So it'll be second down now as we approach 8 minutes left to go in the first quarter.
Well, this is exactly what Bob Jacoby was hoping wouldn't happen on the first drive. I'm sure he was hoping they could stop him and get short field possession.
And they toss it to Booth off the left side, and Alonzo will take it in for yet another score. Give him 25 with 8:02 left to go, and it's now 6-0 Stallions on top.
Well, they overcame a penalty, and they overcame some a third and 10 with the help of a penalty from St. Charles, but that was a very, very good DeSales drive there, very methodical.
And, you know, that was a big penalty, too, because you had a chance to make the Stallions one-dimensional in a situation
right.
Like that.
Third and 10, and they'd have probably had to throw it, but third and 5, they ran it.
Dominic Tomasio looking to go 46 of 47 on extra points. I know. How did he miss the one, right?
I don't know. Lack of focus. What else could it be?
He has been automatic this season.
He's a great kicker.
Snap, kick, plenty of leg. With 8:02 left to go, it's now 7-0 Stallions as Dominic converts. We'll pause for 30 seconds on the CCL Game of the Week, presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Salazzo Marble and Granite cheers on our Catholic high school teams. Salazzo Marble is Ohio's premier provider of gorgeous marble, granite, travertine, and stone tile with the largest selection. Our stone experts are knowledgeable and professional with a 45-year reputation for completing projects on time and on budget. Visit our warehouse and personally select the right stone for your home. That's Salazzo Marble, S-O-L-A-Z-Z-O. Online at salazzomarble.com. Arrivederci.
A couple early scores to update you on. Watkins Memorial has a 6-0 lead over Licking Valley, and Columbus Academy has taken the opening kickoff for a touchdown. They lead Bexley 7-0.
Well, hello. Look out, Lions.
That's a big one there.
Booth takes it in from a yard out for DeSales. 9 plays, 78 yards, 3:58 off the clock. And the Stallions up first in this contest by a count of 7-0. Demasio has it teed up at the 40.
That Academy Bexley game, the old Tweeds against the Toads. That's what they call it. I don't know what it's all about, but Tweed jackets, and I don't know how they got to be called the Toads.
It used to be the Headmaster's Trophy, too,
Headmaster's Trophy, yep.
Here's the kick. Will it be a touchback?
No.
Not this time.
40-mile-an-hour wind in this race.
Return's going to start from the 8-yard line. There's a gap up the middle across the 25, up to the 27-yard line. Is on the return that time is Jordan Berkey. He'll stay in there to run the offense as a running back along with Davion Johnson and a quarterback that will lead them in Brooks McCann. And guys up front in the interior five on the quick side with Will Sherman and Luke Brake and Michael Feldman in the center on the right side. It's Jacob Sattler along with Charles Cottle. Eric Lohheiser's the tight end. Tanner Fix is a wide out. And the flanker alternates between Charles Quinn and Carl McGowan, who can also be a backup quarterback. On a first down play, they're going to hand it off the right side. And there's a gap across the 30-yard line. Near hash they go up to the 32 and maybe the 33-yard line is Davion Johnson on the carry that time. Johnson, as we mentioned, broke his hand on the opening kickoff against Upper Arlington, then sprained his ankle later on. So he's been fighting injuries throughout the season. We should mention, too, that St. Charles does not have cumulative stats. So if you don't hear the cumulative numbers tonight, that is why. So it'll be a second down and two from the 33-yard line. Trips to the bottom. They'll keep it on the ground again, this time to Anderson. They barely got the handoff to him in time as he got up near the 35-yard line, near the sticks. I'm not sure if he got the first down though or not.
That was an inside handoff. They trapped that play real quick, and it was a nice. He came to the right side of the quarterback and went over left guard. Davion Johnson's getting in a three-point stance, and most running backs in a one-back set will stand up like a tailback. He is down like the old fullbacks would be, and I'm telling you what, he's going to be tough to see back there.
They're saying it's just enough for the first down, the ball touching the 35-yard line right in the middle of the field. The St. Charles Cardinals in the white trim with the Cardinal numerals and wearing the black pants. The Sales with the purple jerseys and white numerals and white pants. They break the huddle late. Wide at the top is Tanner Fix. And they took too long.
Flag on the play.
And they're going to call procedure call, actually, against St. Charles. Either way, they were in trouble because they took too long to break the huddle, for one.
Yep.
And we had movement along the offensive line on the left side, so mark the ball back to the 30-yard line.
Now, these are penalties that will hurt St. Charles because they're going to have difficulty moving the ball against this DeSales front anyhow. Now it's first and 15. You're suddenly behind the chains, and it makes it more difficult.
Johnson last week, by the way, against LaSalle in that 35-7 loss. 16 carries, 94 yards, and a touchdown, good for 49 yards. So it's now first and 15 from back of the 30-yard line. Backs offset, second man through. That's Berkey off the left side, up to the 30, to the 33-yard line. And, man, he got whipped down by Joey Velasquez coming up from the secondary to whip him big time.
He just grabbed him and threw him down like a sack of potatoes. I mean, it was
and Berkey's still down.
It was rather rude, actually.
Yeah, Berkey's not come up after that.
You know, we've gotten to really enjoy watching Davion Johnson over the past couple years, and Berkey is one of those kids that just plays hard. I mean, he just is a warrior, and you hate to see him go down like that on him. A good, clean tackle, just throw him down hard.
And he is lying in the prone position on his right side, right at the 30-yard line. Velasquez, who made that hit like a house of fire, is just a sophomore, going 5'11 and 190. And they're bringing medical attention out on the field right now for Berkey as he still lays on his side right there at the 30-yard line. On his side, Larry, and he hasn't moved
since he's gone down. Yep, I was just going to say that.
Full training staff from both sides out there on the field at the 30-yard line. 6:26 left to go in the first quarter. We're going to pause right now as they attend to Jordan Berkey. We pray for the best for this young man, 5'10", 170, and a senior. We'll come back in a moment on the CCL Game of the Week here, presented by Mount Carmel Foundation on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Right now, one in three drivers is cruising around in a state of skepticism about just how much value their car insurance company is delivering. If you're one of them, State Farm agent Kevin Smith in Columbus can help you get to a better state because he'll talk with you, listen to you, and help put together a policy that has you written all over it. From costs to coverage, all backed by 24/7 customer support. Feeling less skeptical? Then call State Farm agent Kevin Smith in Columbus and officially get to a better state with State Farm.
Cameron Lewis has scored for Newark Catholic, a 7-0 lead they have over Northridge right now. Also, some other scores. North Union leads Galleon 7-0. Highland leads Cardington 7-0. And Amanda Clear Creek has a 7-0 lead over Circleville. Don't forget, Lee Cochran and myself will give you all the scores at halftime of tonight's contest. We'll also check in with Todd Bell and get an ODU preview and a review from what happened last week here on AM 820. And, of course, after the game, don't go anywhere. It's the AM 820 scoreboard show presented by This Week Sports. Let's head back out to Alumni Stadium right now to Randy Reinhart and Larry Wolf.
Thank you very much, Ryan. A somber scene right now as a team of trainers from both sides have assembled out at the 30-yard line near the far hash right now to continue to attend to Jordan Berkey, a great athlete, good leader, a member of the student council, a young man that runs track and loves health. It's one of his classroom assignments, and still he's down on the field and he's now sitting up.
Yeah, that's good.
That's a good sign. He was on his side, but now they have him sitting up right at the 30-yard line, surrounded by nine different people from a training staff that combines both of these teams. Sportsmanship at its best. And now he stands up to his feet at the 30-yard line, having a conversation with one of the trainers, being asked some questions right now. And they continue to converse with him before he will leave the field. Good job by the officials, too, Brett Fox and company, to immediately recognize that there was an issue with Jordan Berkey, so he will slowly work his way off the field. Now, he is walking, but a trainer on the right side with his arm embracing around the left side of the body of Jordan Berkey as he works off to the sidelines. So if we get more information on his status, we'll let you know.
Well, I think they've taken his helmet, so that's never a good sign in terms of him coming back, but he walked off on his own, so that's pretty good there. So.
You always wonder about, you know, head injuries, concussion protocol, and that type of thing.
It's so different now than it used to be. I mean, it used to be they put smelling salts under your nose and send you back in. It's like, what were they thinking? Well, we didn't know any better. You know, we just didn't know any better.
You still walk him all the way across the field. Let's see if they set him down at the trainer's table or at the bench. They set him down at the trainer's table behind the bench at the far 40-yard line. So now St. Charles has the ball, second down and 11 from the 34-yard line as we resume play, and the handoff goes to Davion Johnson, who gets it up to the 38 and then crawls forward to the 39-yard line, but still it's going to be a third down, and they'll need six from there as the clock ticks down now to 6:04 left to go.
Well, Davion should have probably gained nothing there, and he squirted underneath the tackle and then put a hand down a couple times and got 4 yards, so that was a pretty good job.
Berkey sitting on the trainer's table along the far side, now sitting up under his own power. They continue to attend to him. Third and six for the Cards now. Going left to right to start this first quarter. One wide to the top of slot man to that side. Backs offset. Ooh. And the handoff was a late handoff by McCann. And, boy, there was nothing there as the defense, Asamoah and company, came shooting through to make sure there was no opening for Davion Johnson.
That was a counter trap. The quarterback reversed out to his right and handed the ball off on his left side. And the running back came from left to right. So it was a reverse or a counter trap, as we would call it. And it went nowhere.
Anything that's going to take some time at the line of scrimmage is probably not the play to run for the Cards right now with that penetrating defense by the Stallions. Punting situation now for Nick Teague. Gets it off. Return is going to start by McNally from the 29.
Watch out.
Sidesteps two defenders up to the 35, near side 40. Midfield and drugged down across the 50-yard line into Cards territory at around the 48. But a nice return with a little step backwards and a sidestep to make a nice return on the play before Nick Teague, the punter, helps to make the hit. 32 on the punt, 22 on the return.
There were three Stallions out in front of him. If he could have turned the corner there, it might have been pay dirt.
So first and 10 now for the Stallions. Second possession from the 48-yard line, already leading 7-0 in this contest. 8-0 on the season. We're playing Larry's favorite song in the background.
If I had one, this would be one of them, that's for sure.
I don't know what it is. It just sounds like a pelican screaming to me. First and 10 from the 48. Toss near side, turning the corner, finding a seam, and bouncing it inside the 40 to 36-yard line. That is Ryan Peakes, who at times I feel is a lost man. You know, a guy that's had to overcome that concussion that he had, a guy that's a great point guard on the basketball team. He's had a shoulder injury. He's also had a concussion. He's been through a lot of things during his career at DeSales.
But he's resilient. He just keeps coming back. And you know, we see him week after week or year after year, and he just keeps playing hard all the time.
Picks up 12 on the play, first and 10 from the 36 of St. Charles. Corcoran on a tight end to the top now, and they've got string to that side of the field. And this time, Sylvester to keep at the 30 and undercut and brought down at the 29. Davion Johnson coming up from the secondary to make the hit on the signal caller, Cole Sylvestrian. What an adjustment he has made from a guy that played just a handful of games at Olentangy Orange. And, you know, they only fed him as much as he could eat early in the season when it came to football in this offense.
Well, and he's getting more and more comfortable with the offense. And right there, he ran they dove the fullback off the left side, and then he just followed. It's the second part of that triple option, if you will. He just follows. The quarterback follow right behind you. You've got an isolation blocker in front of you.
Picks up Booth. 8 and second and 2. Booth the lead man. Asamoah the deep back with the two men offset now in the backfield. It'll be Asamoah off the left side down to the 25 and the 24-yard line before he's knocked to the turf right there. And another first down for DeSales with 3:47 left to go.
DeSales pulled their right tight end that time to run the counter play all the way to the left. Now, that's a little rare because that's about one man too wide usually, but he got through the hole.
Max Congrove, the defensive end, who played some linebacker and has made the move now to DN on the hit, part of the Boy Scouts. His dad played football in Jackson, Ohio, growing up. So first and 10 from the 24. Sylvester comes to the sidelines, gets the information, barks to the right side, now the left side of the line. Back set up in a traditional eye at his booth. Second man through, Alonso. Big gap inside the 20 and rumbles down to the 17-yard line. I think he was expecting more contact. Yeah. He went low. If he stays hot, he's still running.
He might still be going. The sales right now is just pushing St. Charles off the ball. And what St. Charles is doing is they're run blitzing a lot. Their linebackers are coming up in the gaps.
Rapidly to the line after a gain of 8. Alonso Booth, nothing to the inside, takes it outside, looks for the pylon. Touchdown. 3:05 left to go. It was unusual. He went straight ahead and goes, whoops, nothing there. Then worked his way to the outside and took the angle to the corner, saw the pylon, made the dive for it. He showed you his gymnastic skills there as he was able to touch it with a football and get the 6 to make it 13-0.
Well, Nadia Comaneci, he's not. Let's just put it that way. He's about 3 times bigger than she ever was.
I think he was cuter than she was back then.
Maybe. It's possible.
Although now she's Mrs. Bart Connor.
There you go. That's right. As far as you know.
As far as I know.
Does Bart know it?
Yes, he does.
Okay.
Extra point time now for Dominic DeMaceo to make it 14-0. In the first quarter. That was a rocket snap back there. The kick is up. And they've converted 2 extra points now. 14-0, 3:05 left to go. We'll pause for 30 seconds. This is St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AMA 20.
Hello, everyone. Dino Carfagna here for Carfagna's Kitchen and Family Restaurante. Carfagna's offers the best in casual, full-service Italian dining, featuring authentic handmade pastas, pizzas, strombolis, gourmet salads, and grilled sandwiches. Weekly specials include Monday's $5 bottle house wines, Wednesday $1 glass wine night, and Thursday's featuring thick-cut prime rib with 2 sides for under $19. Come and visit Carfagna's Kitchen at 2025 Polaris Parkway, just one block off I-71. And as always, go Stallions!
The Air's leading rusher, Harvest Prep's Daniel Bangora, has 2 touchdowns, and they lead Fisher Catholic tonight 13-0. And Columbus Academy has scored again. They've got an early 14-0 lead over Bexley.
Wow. Well, hello, Micah Flegel and company. It's time for the Lions to start roaring. Booth with a second touchdown, 16-yard run. DeMaceo, the PAT, 5 plays, 48 yards, 1:53 off the clock. And Alonzo Booth now 8 carries, 47 yards. He has to reach, 113 yards?
113 will get him the record. So
set by Matt Stewart, the season record for rushing.
Well, Matt Stewart was a pretty good running back here. So
his number's been retired, along with Matt D'Orazio. An occasional broadcast partner of mine, who, when he started, was not that focused on broadcasting. In fact, my son Aaron locked him in the basement and forced him to watch Lancaster and Pick Central until he could figure out what was going on in the game.
That's punishment.
He's rough. Short kick return starts from the 20-yard line and ends at the 27.
You know, one of the things when you kick off into a strong wind like this is the ball doesn't carry as far, and the spin on the ball makes it sink. I mean, it balloons up in the air and then all of a sudden just drops like a rock. And if you're not careful...
Zach Frantz on the return, Larry, excuse me. Yeah. And when he returned the ball, he went down on his right side and laid there, did not move at all, and now rolls over to his back and he stays on the turf. So in essence, you've lost Berkey, you've lost Zach Franz, who can also be a running back in that backfield. Johnson, not really 100%. No. So the troops are very thin in the offensive backfield right now for the Cards.
Well, St. Charles came in banged up. You know what I mean? They've had some problems with some kids that, you know, got little dings and dongs. And Davion Johnson, with a doggone hand injury, it's been a mess all year for him, and I feel bad for Davion.
Yeah, between that hand injury and the fact that he's also had to fight an ankle as well, too, so he hasn't been 100%, although he's probably as close to it now as he ever will be. And we talked about the tough game they had last week against LaSalle, a contest that the Cards lost 35-7. They did have a situation after week four of the campaign where they were up to 2-2 after losing to Upper Arlington and Reynoldsburg. They came back and beat Big Walnut and then beat Watterson in overtime 10-7. In that game, though, against Watterson, the two teams combined for 17 punts in that contest. And if you look at the teams they've lost to, it's now they're going to help Franz off the field. There's a trainer on each side as he slowly kind of limps off the field. They've lost to teams that are 36-12 on the campaign. They've lost to Upper Arlington, Reynoldsburg, Highland, Hartley, Licking Heights, and LaSalle, and none of those teams is worse than 5-3 and the best 7-1. So they're all winning records that they've fallen to.
Welcome to the Catholic League, because that's the way it is.
Yeah, it's difficult being in D2 sometimes, playing a lot of D1 teams. First down, keep it on the ground, spin, and they'll get it up to the 30-yard line, a gain of 2, perhaps 3 on the play, and that's about it. It's Davion Johnson on the carry that time. 2:48 and ticking here on a first quarter that saw the game time temperature at 50.
Eric Igbuke is in the game for St. Charles at running back as well, and he's just a little guy. Now, he's like 5'6 or something and about 145 pounds. So, I mean, St. Charles is running out of bodies back there, and he can scoot.
And remember, I asked Bob Jacoby if he would play, and he said no, he's not going to play in this contest tonight.
Nope. Well, he's playing.
He's on a wing to the bottom, in fact, now. And they keep it on the ground at Johnson again. This time gets it up to the 32-yard line. So the options are sparse right now for the Cardinals on offense. When you talk about Brooks McCann, he's got a pretty accurate arm, 6 feet, 175, and a junior. You wonder if they're going to have to put the ball up a little bit more to move that to Sales defense and make him honest at least.
They may have to do that, and the problem with that is it lengthens the game, not shortens it. And what St. Charles wants to do is shorten the game, score, keep it close, get a turnover, and, you know, try to win this thing, you know, in a low-scoring affair. I don't think they can score with the Sales.
Tanner fixed one of their hands, people to the top. He had 4 catches for 49 yards. Against Watterson, they'll keep it on the ground again and only get it up to the 35-yard line. So they'll be about 3.5 yards shy of the first down. It's Johnson on the carry again. They'll set up a punting situation again for the second time for Nick Teague.
Well, this is a two-edged sword here, because if he kicks it long, the Sales will get their return set up. And if he doesn't kick it long, it's a short kick and you get good field position. So let's see what happens here.
Chris McNally back at his own 34-yard line. There's the punt. Try to kick it away from him this time. It's going to hit at the 40-yard line and scooped up by McNally. I don't think he was sure if it perhaps hit Andre White, one of the up guys.
Well, number 19, Andre White, was running down trying to block about the 50-yard line or 45-yard line, right on the numbers, and the ball hit very close to him.
29 yards on the punt, no return. So
that's a good punt. 29 with no return, you'd take that. If you kick at 40, it could be a 30-yard return. The last time we had a 32-yard punt and a 22-yard return, I think. So,
give them the ball right at the 36-yard line as they are still working on the sticks along the far side of the field. Did you see what happened in my game last night on TV?
No, I did not.
They destroyed the sticks. The guy did not throw the sticks down in time, so they got obliterated. So they brought a cart onto the field with the new sticks, and they carted the old ones off. So I applauded, like you do when an injured player goes off the field. The old sticks left the field. Silvestri takes a step back and keeps it on a mini draw there and gets it up to the 39-yard line.
Well, again, they faked the up back, and then he was running the triple, and the second option is obviously the quarterback keep, and he just followed right through the hole.
If you're wondering, the score to remember last night was 35-7. Westerville Central beat Westerville South. Same score for Darby over Delaware.
That's right, my Darby boys.
There you go.
5-4 after a 1-4 start.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Not eliminated yet.
No.
Second down and 8 from the 39-yard line. They're showing blitz. The Cards, they readjust the defensive front. We have motion all over the place.
Look like Canada.
We're moving more than the band.
Oh, yeah.
False start on the offense. But then again, not only did they bluff the blitz with two different guys, but the defensive line all shifted down, and then the offensive line kind of reacted to that.
Well, St. Charles ran a safety blitz,
and they brought the safety down in like the old bear, almost in the, right. in the B gap, and they shifted the entire front to the right, and the blitz was coming off the left. So, you know, St. Charles is not, they're going to keep sending the troops because that's the only way they can stunt this offense of DeSales.
By the way, if I'm playing against Ohio State, I run that bear defense until they prove they can beat it, because Indiana, I thought, did a good job against them, even though it was 38-17, the final of that one, running the bear defense. Again, they readjust the defensive front. Backs offset. Silvestri's rolling, looking, dumps underneath the booth in the open field. 40, 45. Midfield. Alonso, 45, 40, 35, 30. Down the sidelines. 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. 5 seconds left to go. Alonso Booth stretches across the goal line. 66 yards for the score, and then it was 20 to nothing.
The most impressive part of that play was the speed that Alonzo Booth showed running stride for stride with the defensive backs of St. Charles. Now, Davion Johnson came up, and he was one-on-one with a blocker, and he had a 240-pound freight train behind him. He got blocked, and it might have been a good thing for Davion, and they caught him at the goal line, and it was a touchdown. So
nice stretch by Alonzo at the goal line to get that ball across the plane, and now a chance to make it a 21-0 lead in the first quarter. Plenty of leg by the Maceo, and it's now 21-0 Stallions. 5 ticks left to go, and we'll pause for 30 seconds here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Hi, I'm Mike DeAndrea from Miracle Motor Mart. We have a large selection of fresh, off-lease, low-mileage vehicles at great prices. Please visit our website at miraclemotormart.com, where you can choose from over 350 vehicles which are priced to sell quickly. We deal with over 20 lenders to arrange your financing needs with rates as low as 2.9%. Go to miraclemotormart.com. You'll be glad you did.
Andrews has hit Connor Bush for a 49-yard touchdown pass, and Watterson leads Zanesville 6-0. And Kyle Gibson has a touchdown run for Newark Catholic. They lead Northridge 14-0.
Here's Silvestri's 66-yard pass to Booth. Two plays, 64 yards, 109 off the clock. DeMaceo, the PAT. We stand now at 21-0. There are many ways to listen to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AMA 20 on your dial at AMA 20. Streaming live at stgabrielradio.com, as many of you are doing right now, with a TuneIn Radio app and with the St. Gabriel phone app. So check it out, stgabrielradio.com, and check out that TuneIn Radio app as well, too. Mine has a tendency to kick on, though, sometimes in my pants pocket. And all of a sudden, I hear voices. And I turn around, and it's my left pocket. That's a good message, though,
there
too.
There are so many good lines I have available, but I can't use any of them.
Davion Johnson from the 8.
It's begging me to
across
say
the 20-yard line.
I have to retire my seat. I can't.
And mercifully, that's the end of the first quarter. No more lines from Larry. 21-0 after 12 minutes. Second quarter with yours truly, and maybe Larry, coming up here on the CCL Game of the Week, presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation, here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Malik & Malik, a family-owned law firm that provides quality and compassionate legal representation in the Columbus, Ohio region for people who have suffered injuries and deserve proper compensation. Our Columbus, Ohio attorneys are dedicated to helping you recover your rightful compensation for job-related and worker compensation injuries, as well as injuries resulting from car and truck accidents, dog bite claims, and more. Visit us at maliklawfirm.com.
Hello, everyone. Dino Carfagna here for Carfagna's Kitchen and Family Restaurante. Carfagna's offers the best in casual full-service Italian dining, featuring authentic handmade pastas, pizzas, strombolis, gourmet salads, and grilled sandwiches. Weekly specials include Monday's $5 bottle house wines, Wednesday $1 glass wine night, and Thursday's featuring thick-cut prime rib with two sides for under $19. Come and visit Carfagna's Kitchen at 2025 Polaris Parkway, just one block off I-71. And as always, go Stallions!
And welcome back to Alumni Stadium. All DeSales after one quarter, 21-0 they lead in this contest. They had 190 yards of total offense, 124 rushing, 66 passing, 24 yards offense for St. Charles, all on the ground. They hand it off, keep it on the ground, off the right side, up across the 20-yard line to the 21, and that's it on a short gainer that time. First down, 6 for the Stallions, 1 for St. Charles. 2 penalties for 10 yards against the Cards, 1 for 5 against the Stallions. No turnovers in the first quarter as Davion Johnson gets the ball up to around the 21-yard line. 11:40 left to go first half. Randy Reinhart, I assume Larry Wolf.
I'm still here.
All right, Scott Rex and Greg Sivaldi.
They haven't fired me yet. It could happen.
You know, there's 3 strikes, Larry.
Shoot, I've already struck out.
The count is 0-2 right now.
Yeah, this is my 4th at bat, though.
McGann back to throw. Pressure on, rolling to his left, and he's going to throw that into the DeSales bench. So there are no options there offensively, and rolling to his right, or left, rather. He looked downfield and just threw it away to his left.
Well, Ryan Peaks had the coverage out here, and he had the receiver blanketed. There was no place to throw it. And besides, he had Drew McLucky in his face and half of the sales defensive line. So get rid of the ball and live to fight again.
And again, as we've mentioned, if you're St. Charles, you need the quick-hitting play. So if it's a pass play, it's got to be a quick out, a bubble screen, even a slant across the middle, something that's going to move rapidly because DeSales has dominated both sides of the line. On a 3rd down and 9, on the ground it goes again and up to the 21-yard line, back to the line of scrimmage. And Davion Johnson again on the carry, and absolutely nothing there. Is Mullins and the crew that include Corcoran all waiting for him right at the 21.
Well, I mean, Luke Brake and Jacob Sattler and Mike Feldman, the 3 interior offensive linemen for St. Charles, they've got the unenviable job of trying to fight off Darius Mullins and Luke Barber. I mean, it's nobody else has been able to do it this year, and it's a difficult task.
And add Drew McLucky to that mix, and yeah. Brandon Darrow, who used to play for St. Charles for his first 2 years, now playing at DeSales. Slow snap for Deke. He's got it, gets it off. Line drive to the right. Will they hunt it down? No, they're going to let it trickle across midfield and bounce out of bounds at the 49-yard line. 10:37 left to go. DeSales will get it back after that 32-yard punt by Nick Teague.
Well, the wind is howling out of the west. I mean, the flag is almost straight out here, and so the punt went out of bounds on the east side of the stadium, which is probably by design. Just punt the ball out of bounds, get your 25-yard punt or whatever it was, and no return.
I'm telling you what, if I do a coin toss and get the option next time against the sales, I am going to take the ball, get in the bus, start the engine, and leave. This team has become a machine over the weeks that we've seen him. Going back to week 1 when I had him on TV against Lancaster, they improved by leaps and bounds, and I think we've seen the maturation right in front of our eyes of one Alonzo Booth.
Absolutely.
So much physically tougher than he was last year.
Well, and Brian Osamoa is pretty good, too. So
he accelerates into contact, something you love. Yep. Silvestri wants to go long downfield, has Peaks down there, catches it, and drops it at the 10-yard line. Oh, Peaks hits the bottom there as he had the ball at the 10, and by the 8-yard line, it trickled through his hands and hit the turf.
Now, you know, if you're the sales stallion, you only throw the ball about 4 times or 5 times a game anyhow, and that was a perfect pass. Hit him in absolute stride, both hands on the ball, and I'm sure Peaksy's out there going, I can't believe I dropped it. I can't believe I dropped it, but he did.
Do you give him a do-over if you're a Silvestri and company?
Oh, no, you only get 4 passes a game, so okay. You can't do that. You got 3 more guys you got to keep happy. So they're probably going to give it to Alonzo Booth here, and he'll get a 1st down.
2nd down and 10 from the 49. 10.5 left to go, 1st half. Booth has got it. Toss, far side, churns, rumbles, rolls inside the 45 to the 43, carrying bodies with him.
I almost called that one. That was a 9-yard gain. He actually should have gained about 2, but at 235 or 240 pounds, he just rumbles through people. Big, strong.
Well, as you look at him, what has changed for Alonzo Booth over the last year or so?
His agility. His ability to stay on his feet, take the hit, and run through the hit. I mean,
He gets it on a toss this time. Nothing there at first. Waits for the block to establish. Then on the 2nd effort, gets it inside the 35-yard line and has enough for a Stallion 1st down.
You know, last year he likely would have gone down there. He likely would have just conceded the run, gotten the 1st down.
And he's limping.
There'll be no limping. There'll be no limping. I'm sure he won't get much love over here on the sidelines. No, you cannot be hurt.
He's coming to the sidelines. Osamoa checks in.
And when he sees Osamoa run the ball, he'll get healthy in a hurry.
Alonzo Booth tosses his helmet to the turf, heads right over to a bench, and parks it there. Bends over.
He's okay, but it's just he's frustrated right now.
1st and 10 from just inside the 35 at the 34. Osamoa left side. Sidesteps one defender, gets it down to the 32 before he's knocked down. And right now Booth trying to stretch out his legs while he sits on a bench in front of us at the 42-yard line. Right now, stretching out their right leg. I think it's a cramping situation at all?
I think it was an ankle. I mean, he looked like he was limping as opposed to walking straight-legged. So who knows, but I'm sure he'll be back in this thing.
He's working on agility and flexibility with that right leg right now.
He's rolling out his calf, so maybe it is a...
Gain of a couple, second down at 8 from the 32 with 8:55 left. Every time you see that roller, that's the first thing I think about. Cramp rolling is Silvestri to his right, looks downfield, overthrows Moriarty, the tight end, inside the 10-yard line.
Now, that time they had the tight end, they had two tight ends, and they had one sitting right underneath. It was a triple-level flood route. They had a back in the flats, they had a tight end in the intermediate, and a tight end deep, and he threw the deep route. The intermediate route was open.
I wouldn't mind seeing a long field goal attempt from DeMaceo here.
That would have been Ryan Corcoran in the intermediate route. That would have been good.
It's third down and 8, but by the way, DeMaceo has a 55-yarder against Kenel Winchester. In fact, he's 2 of 2 from 50 to 59 yards.
Well, the wind is blowing across the field, so it would be a tough, tough kick.
Across the field. That's a good name for a fight song,
I think.
Third down and 8 from the 32. Toss, it goes to Asamoah to the right side, and nothing there at first. Waits now. Gets it down to the 30-yard line, and that is it. A gain of 2 on the play. If you hear or feel a vibration, it's the coaching staff from DeSales to our left making their points known for the press box.
And they weren't happy about that. I don't think they got the blocking at the point of attack. St. Charles did a nice job that time of stringing that play out and then getting some help from the secondary.
I've got DeMaceo lining up for what could be a 47-yard field goal attempt. Chris McNally would be the holder if he doesn't throw it.
Well, the wind should push this ball toward the left upright, and you got a right-footed kicker, so like a golf shot, he's going to hook this. He's going to try and take it hard to the right upright and let the wind bring it back.
From 47 yards out, there's the snap. There's the kick. It is up, and it is good with room to spare with 7:52 left to go. Good from 47, but maybe good from about 50 to 55.
He clearly had enough. The wind hooked that ball right back through the uprights. It was beautiful.
24-0 Stallions.
It's like a golf shot. When you hook them, they go a little bit farther. And that was a great kick.
And he is now 4 of 7 on field goals. Is that better, 4 of 7, than being, say, 48 of 49 on extra points? How do you do the math between field goals and extra points?
Well, it depends on the distance. 4 of 7 is important, I guess. But if they're all chippies, you know, chip shots, 20 yards, 25 yards, not a big deal. That's 47 yards. That's big time there. And some of these kicks in big games, you know, are more important. You know what I mean? A 35-yarder in a big game is more important than maybe a 40-yarder in a blowout. So, you know, this is an important kick because 47 sets you up for the playoffs. And you say, hey, wait a minute. We don't have to get into the 5 or 10-yard line. We can kick this thing from 45 or 47.
That's the first kick he's made from 40 to 49 yards out so far this season. He was 0 of 2 coming into this contest. That was a 7-play 21-yard drive that usurped 2:45 off the clock as Dominic gets the 47-yarder and makes it a 24-0 tally in this one.
That was an impressive kick. Now let's see how strong the wind is because he couldn't get the ball inside the 10 going north. Now he's heading south, and let's just see what that does.
Right in the middle of the field as he's got it teed up, ready to kick from left to right. Because of the Berkey injury, Davion Johnson is now the deep man inside the 10-yard line. And say bye-bye.
Yep.
That is a touchback. Goes 5 yards deep. We'll bring it out to the 20-yard line with 7:52 left to go.
So now you see the difference. He was hooking the ball into the wind going to the north, and he's hooking the ball with the wind going south. So you see the difference of about 12 to 15 yards there.
St. Charles, you hate to say they're on the clock, but Larry, with 7:52 left to go in the first half, you need to make something happen because you could be staring a 30-point deficit to start the second half and a continuous clock right away.
They desperately need to put together some first downs here, and they may have to throw it on first down. They may have to do a little play action and hit the short 4 or 5 yard passes to move the ball.
Alex Lohheiser, a tight end of the bottom of the set. They'll keep it on the ground, get it across the 20 to about the 22-yard line. Van Fossen and company with Savage hitting on the right side of that defensive front.
Tyler Van Fossen just leveled
just leveled our quarterback that time. Joey Vasquez was also in on that play.
Brooks McCann on the keeper that time picks up a few up to the 23-yard line. So we'll call it second down and seven from there. 7:24 and ticking first half. All the sales in this one, 24-0. And a triad to the top. And McCann wants to throw across the middle. Pass is picked off. Intercepted. Coming back the other way. 20, 15, 10, 5. Count it for the touchdown. Just like that, they get the score and the turnover. Joey Velasquez makes the pick, and he gets the touchdown. And it's 30-0. Stallions on top. Great anticipation by Joey, who has a couple of solo tackles, a couple of assists, and the 5'11 sophomore now has an interception return for a touchdown of 30 yards, and it's now 30-0 Stallions.
Well, that was a pop pass, Rick Lohheiser, and he just threw it a little bit behind him, and out of nowhere, Velasquez just caught it almost off his shoe tops and took it in for the touchdown. Great job of catching and running there.
You know, this is a guy that has hit fiercely as well, too.
Oh,
He knows how to field his position.
He's earned his way onto that starting defense because, I mean, he wasn't a starter early in the year, but he's come on and really played well.
I think because of the Booth injury, they were a man short. Now they get the 11th player on the field, so DeMaceo to attempt the extra point. There's a snap, plenty of leg again. It is up, and it is good. 31-0. Stallions, 7:05 left to go. We'll pause here on the CCL Game of the Week on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Do you have a child in college? Education First Credit Union offers a private student loan solution with your financial best interest in mind. Our private student loan features zero loan fees, low interest rates, the option to defer all payments while in school, no prepayment penalty, and the convenience of a line of credit. Education First Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity lender and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
Adam Cawson and Nick DePalma have touchdown runs for Watterson. They lead Zanesville 19-0. And Pickerington Central has an early 8-0 lead over Reynoldsburg.
And here it's now 31-0 Stallions over the Cardinals. 7:05 left to go first half for Andy Reinhart, Larry Wolf, Eric Zivaldi, Scott Rex without glasses standing tonight. He got his laser surgery. How many fingers am I holding up? 17, that's correct.
Four and a thumb.
He looks different. We're going to have to get a Sharpie out and paint little black rims around his eyes there. There's a kick by DeMaceo, and one more time. This one goes 8 yards deep in the end zone. We'll bring it out to the 20-yard line. And that's another weapon you have to talk about for DeSales when it comes to the postseason. His ability to get the touch back as long as it's not gale force winds out there, and his ability to make field goals from over 50 yards.
Well, he's an absolute weapon. Anytime they get the ball inside of the 25-yard line, he's like money on a field goal. And anytime they score, you're going to get it at the 20 unless there's some really inclement weather. So it's a tremendous weapon for the Stallions.
They just spent 10 seconds talking to him. What do you tell a guy after back-to-back touchbacks?
Kick it farther? I don't know.
I really think if you kick it through the uprights, you should get 3 points.
Yeah.
I'm going to kick off. That's just me.
They just put us in charge of the rule book. We could fix this game with no problem.
I'd make it better than Canadian football. First and 10 from the 20-yard line.
Watching paint dry is better than Canadian.
Oh, I love Canadian football. Go BC Lions. Handoff off the right side, get it up to the 22-yard line. With the way they do the scrums and they have that mosh pit out there for St. Charles, sometimes it's hard to figure out if McCann has handed off the football or if he's kept it himself. But that time, Davion Johnson got the ball up to around the 22-yard line. So it'll be second down and 8 with 6:45 left.
Well, as you said earlier, St. Charles is trying to hit him quick. They're trying because it's going to be tough for St. Charles to sustain blocks. So they're trying to just get an edge and chip the ball through there and get 4 or 5 yards. It hasn't worked yet.
Tanner Fix wide to the bottom. One back in the backfield. Keep it on the ground again. Davion Johnson out to the 25-yard line, and that's it. Spun down right when he crossed the 25, so it'll be third down and 5 from there for St. Charles, and it's just been a history of 3 and outs for the Cards in this contest.
St. Charles has tried to run the inside A-gap, that inside gap between the guard and the center, and it hasn't worked. That time they went wider, so they went to a little wider veer play off the tackle. It's an outside veer play or an outside veer looking play. And they block it a little bit differently, so maybe they found a place they can run and get 3 or 4 yards.
Fix picked up by Arnold at the bottom of the set. The other 10 guys scrunched together. McCann goes back to throw, and he got drilled. I tell you what, The guy that got there almost as fast as the football on the snap was Ryan Corcoran. I'm not sure which got there first, the snap or Corcoran.
Well, the snap got there first for sure, but Corcoran was there shortly thereafter, and it was unfair because I don't think anybody blocked him. He just came on a blitz, and he knew the snap count, he guessed it, and he jumped it.
In that case, I just hand him the football. If that's what he wants, give it to him.
Yeah, give him some red meat or something. Maybe he'll eat that. Who knows?
Keep him happy. Teague to punt, standing back at his own 6-yard line, up to the 10, gets it off, low into that wind, and it's caught, and is a fair catch call for? Yeah, it was a fair catch, but he still tried to advance the football on the play, and that was number one, Chris McNally, but it'll be a short field again. That punt just sails 23 yards. Was the wind a factor there?
Absolutely.
So with 5:15 left to go, Stallions get it back, and we could see second teamers early in the third quarter for the squad from DeSales. Just a reminder, after the game, you can listen to the AM 820 Scoreboard Show presented by thisweeksports.com. Ryan Baker and Lee Cochran, the guru, bringing the scores and highlights from all the leagues here in Central Ohio. It's the AM 820 Scoreboard Show after the game only on AM 820 and stgabrielradio.com. Alonzo Booth back into the contest now, along with Asamoah in the backfield.
Well, if he's going to get that record, he's going to have to do it quickly, because I don't think we're going to see much of him in the third quarter.
Got one more week after this. He hits the hole, bounces off of that, spins, but doesn't get away. Brought down at around the 41-yard line. Got to the 40 and then was pushed back from there. Next week, DeSales plays Mount Vernon. Of course, Mount Vernon, one of the escapees from the OCC,
right,
and looking to fill out their schedule this year. So DeSales and the Jackets will play in week number 10 of the campaign.
Mount Vernon should have chosen more wisely. It's not a wise choice to pick up the Stallions right before the playoffs.
You know, with the way they changed the OCC, and they have one division with what I call the one-horse towns, except Franklin Heights, mm-hmm. you know, is in technically Columbus/Grove City. But all the other teams in that division of the OCC are one-school communities. Asamoah off the left side, inside the 30, down the 25, but a hanky is down at the 39-yard line with 4:29 left to go, and it's coming back, holding the call against the Stallions. I'm not sure what the bartering was for Mount Vernon, but they opted to leave the OCC, and like I said, you've got a lot of those communities that have just one school that have been bunched together. And then, of course, last night I saw the Westerville Old Hanji Complex, those six schools in one division of the OCC.
Well, one of the interesting things about the OCC, and I've always thought, just do it by neighborhoods. You know, if you took the three Dublins, the three Hilliards, Upper Arlington, the two Worthingtons, that's a pretty close-knit league right there. You'd have everybody right in the neighborhood, but I don't know.
Well, now you could do the Dublins and the Hilliards and throw in Upper Arlington maybe in Worthington. I don't know.
That's, I just said that.
I know.
Perhaps you weren't listening.
Well, you went a little further to the east, I think, then.
No.
Okay. You win. Sylvester wants to throw it back this way to
trouble.
Arnold.
This is
50,
trouble.
45, 40, 30, 25. Joe Arnold, 10, 5, and he takes it in uncontested for the touchdown. As Sylvester rolled left and threw it all the way back to the right, and Arnold takes it in for the touchdown, and with 4:11 left to go, after that 50-yard touchdown pass, it is now 37-0.
And I want to give some props out there to one of my offensive linemen, one of the big guys, Omar Vargas. He was sprinting like he had just, I don't know, taken somebody's lunch and was running away. He was out in front of that play by 15, 20 yards, trying to beat the running back into the end zone, and he got all the way down to about the 3-yard line. He was running like a runaway freight train.
5'10", 225, and a senior. Maybe he was trying to join that new multi-talented league we were talking about.
I got to give him some props. He was out ahead of that screen. He had nobody to block. There was nobody out there, so he just ran like crazy.
DeMaceo, the extra point. It is good. It is now 38-0. 4:11 left to go. First half. We'll pause for 30. This is St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Hi, Vince DeAndrea from Miracle Motor Mart, and I'd like to share a letter from one of our customers. Dan says, I can attest to their quality customer service and their commitment to delivering an unmatched customer experience. I have personally purchased my last 10 vehicles from Miracle Motor Mart, and if my extended family is included, that number jumps up to over 28. Sincerely, Daniel Horgan, Mayor of Akron, Ohio. Miracle Motor Mart, where we treat everybody like the mayor.
Daniel Bangora has scored again. Harvest Prep has a 27-0 lead over Fisher Catholic. And Olentangy Orange has an early 7-0 lead over Liberty.
Well, here we go.
Haven't been able to figure out Orange or Olentangy this year. Liberty was the one team that had been the constant so far. Wouldn't it be something if all three of those schools had made the postseason?
Well, I always thought it would be something if the Dublin schools made it because they're in different counties. And so they technically could have an all-Dublin state final because they're in different regions. I mean, it would because they do it by county. So at one time, Jerome was in a different region than Scioto and Kaufman.
Silvestri with his second touchdown pass of the night. This one to Arnold. Two plays, 43 yards. The pass was 50 yards, so 104. Remember, you have to factor in the holding penalty as well, too. And now 38-0. 4:11 left to go in the second quarter.
St. Charles needs a first down. They need a first down in the worst way.
DeMaceo with the boot, and this time there will be a return. It will start from the 5-yard line. Davion's got it up to the 10, the 15, the 20, and brought down at the 22-yard line. So he returns at 17 yards. Uh-oh. And a flag at the end of the play that was just tossed. Extremely late after the end of the play, so it's going to be a dead ball, you would think, personal foul with 4:06 left to go. As Brett Fox and company confer right at the 22-yard line. Dead ball, personal foul against DeSales. When you're up 38-0, you really don't have to say anything else unless you say one word, and that's scoreboard.
Yep. I don't know exactly who did what, but I'm sure that Coach Wiggins is not happy about that one.
And that time, our official couldn't find the flag, so Chris McNally picked it up and handed it to him.
You may have to look for somebody hiding on the bench because I think Wiggy's trying to find someone over here to bark at.
This is where you pull the Anthony Rizzo and say you're sorry.
Never mind.
But Angel Hernandez is not one of my favorite umpires. His strike zone has always been, let's say, unique.
Well,
got to talk baseball.
But if you know that, adjust.
Davion Johnson off the right side, off tackle, takes it up to the 40-yard line, second and seven from there. What about the Tribe in the postseason?
How about the Tribe? I have no fingernails left. They drive me crazy. Oh.
And I was honored to get the news from my son that he is going to be working games one and two of the World Series in Cleveland. So
he overcame his high school history coach.
His history coach and also his life coach as well, too, if you will. Second and seven for the 40-yard line. A little misdirection that time, and there was nothing there. They tried to fake it, spin one way, as you talked about before, Larry, and then hand it off the other. And, you know, the other thing is, with all the injuries, Davion Johnson's going to see more than he dreamed of when it comes to the number of handoffs in this contest.
And if they run that same play and run the counter option and the quarterback keeps it, there was nobody on the option play that time. We had a pitch man cover, but nobody on the quarterback. So you might see that. St. Charles may run that counter option play.
That time, Matthew Gibbons actually got the handoff. So it'll be third down and seven. And this time McCann will keep it. Ooh, he got to the 45-yard line, but he paid the price. And he's still going to be a couple yards shy of the first down. 2:59 and ticking here in the first half. What do you do if you're St. Charles?
Fourth and one, you might as well go for it. It's 38-0 now. You got to go for it. You got a chance to get a first down for Pete's sake. I don't know what you're going to run, but you better figure something out here.
What about the play you just ran? Brooks McCann picked up about six on the play, fourth down and just more than a yard.
I just said if the quarterback keeps it, it'll be a good play for him, and it was, so...
You're pretty clairvoyant tonight, aren't you?
I knew clairvoyant. I went to school with her.
All right. She says hi. Fourth and one. Keep it on the ground. And nope. You know, don't run the same play because it's not going to work.
No, Van Fossen was ready for it that time.
Ty Van Fossen shuts it down right at the 46-yard line. They'll look at it. It's going to be a yard shy, and they'll say, nope. First down, give it back to the Stallions. 2:26 left to go. Either way, it was going to be a first down, but... The Stallion defense bends a little. They do not break, and DeSales gets it back. Do you even start your offense in the second half if you're DeSales?
Yeah, you probably run one series with them. You know, you're going to make a few adjustments because you have to look at a few things that you want to look at, and then after that, you'll see a running clock, and you'll see the JVs playing.
And after that, you look ahead to Mount Vernon, and unless the Jackets pull off something, your starters may not play much next week either.
No, the good news is this time of year they'll get some needed rest. You know, they played a gauntlet of a schedule. I mean, it was a tough schedule all the way around. So for the sales, they'll take the rest at this point in the season.
Officials time out on the field. Bob Jacoby's out on the field at the 48-yard line. Do you think he has a question about the fourth down player of the spot?
I think he wanted a measurement. He didn't get it. I think they just ruled it was a first down the other way, and he didn't get the measurement. He was going to be short.
There was no doubt from the, you know, it's not like when I used to make the lines and they were squiggly. These are straight lines, and you can tell where.
Yeah, from our vantage point, it was about a yard shy of the first down. So Silvestri and company will get it back. We'll talk about that to sales schedule here in just a second as we approach the top of the hour here on a Friday night. Toss it goes to Booth. Alonzo to the outside. 40, 35, flag down. He goes out of bounds inside the 35-yard line. Nearing the top of the hour, you're listening to WVSG Columbus St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Randy Reinhardt, Larry Wolf still here. Greg Savaldi and Scott Rex. And holding is the call against the Stallions, the second time they've been guilty of that.
All right, now look, we don't need to see any more laundry here. Stop holding. Let's just play some football and get this baby going. I'm sure that's what Coach Wiggins is going to tell him at halftime. Listen, knock off the penalties. Let's go.
From the spot of the infraction, which was the 40, march the ball back to the 50-yard line. So they need to get it down to the 36. So they need 14 yards on this first down play. McNally to the top. Arnold to the bottom. Silvestri with the backs offset. It's Booth off the left side.
Rumbling, stumbling.
Down to the 40-yard line, spins there, and falls forward to the 39. You know, a guy that needs to get a couple handoffs here is Ty Van Fossen as the up man. He's only had a couple handoffs all season.
Well, they're going to run Booth until he gets his whatever he needed, 113. I think he's probably closer to about 65 or 70 right now. I don't know where he is exactly. But
83 maybe?
Look at that. I was close.
Mm-hmm. Well, for you, yeah.
Listen, I'm guesstimating.
Ty Van Fossen, though, has more catches than he has carries. He's got five catches for 139 yards, including a 60-yard touchdown catch against Edgewood. Silvestri rolling right, looking back to his left, now looking again, now throwing it downfield underneath, pass incomplete. Looking for Moriarty at the 25-yard line. Coverage by Davion Johnson, who just got a paw in there to deflect it, and still Moriarty had a chance to come up with a football.
Davion did a nice job. He got a good inside arm on that one. He got his right arm. Defensive back play by Davion Johnson. We expect he's been out there forever.
The schedule for DeSales, Lancaster in week one, then the Canadian football team in week two, Canal Winchester, Hartley, Cub Cath, Bishop Watterson, Edgewood, Logan, now St. Charles and Mount Vernon next week. They control their own destiny.
Good, solid schedule.
And it's 10 teams, too. Sometimes in the CCL, yep, it's hard to do. Toss, sweep, it goes to Booth. Nothing to the left, takes it back to right, and brought down at the 37-yard line. Well, it was a good job by the defense because he went to his left, didn't think he had anything, tried to bring it back, and Stephen Cottrell just grabbed onto the upper part of his body and got him by the shoulders and was able to hog time and bring him down.
Now we're looking at a fourth and about two here, long two. So, I mean, it's got to be Booth time.
You burn time out if you're in
sure,
the Stallions?
Sure.
All right, they'll do that with 1:15 left to go. They only burned the timeout because you said it was okay.
Absolutely.
Otherwise,
well, he
would
looked
not
up here
it.
And I gave him my blessing.
You did? That's good to know.
Catholic radio. Got to give him the blessing.
And I give the blessing to the halftime show that we're going to have. That includes Ryan Baker and Lee Cochran back at the studios of AM 820. And pray tell, gentlemen, what do you have on tap? What's going on in your world today?
Well, a lot of big games in the area and a lot of surprises right now, Randy. I know you were surprised earlier about that Academy score. Well, Bexley has come back and tied that one up. They're tied at 14 now. Lancaster, really the big surprise right now. They've got a 20-0 lead over Pickerington North. The field at Pickerington North, very sloppy. Seen pictures of it. There's standing water on the field, so it's definitely a Lancaster-type weather game, and the Golden Gales taking advantage of that big time.
That is a shocker to me. And again, you've got that little valley, yep, over there at Pickerington, yep, North. And Pickerington North's got a huge game that'll do next week on TV against Gahanna. So, and that's for a playoff spot.
Yep.
I was thinking going into week 10, well, they have to make sure they don't stumble here tonight or life could be too interesting for the Panthers.
You play that wing tee in a mucky field, you got a chance to be in trouble. And that's what's happening right now.
Fourth down and a couple for the Stallions. Booth's going to exit the backfield. Toss, it goes to Peaks around the left, ooh, side. Got hit twice, three times, not, and brought
down. That's a
great
play by Davion Johnson.
And Johnson came up from the secondary, made the hit, and stopped him short of the first down by 2.5 yards. So St. Charles also holds on fourth down, and the Cards will get the ball back.
You know, we've called his name for 3 years now. I mean, Davion was just a little skinny kid, played in the secondary, caught some balls, did some things, and he's really grown up and become a pretty good safety, pretty good secondary player for St. Charles.
He says that football gives you a purpose and teaches you discipline and a work ethic.
Yeah, even if you don't want it, you're going to get one. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. And Davion's one of those kids that really enjoys that. I mean, he's always seemed to be a very nice kid to us. And, you know, I talked to him before the game sometime, and he's got his head on straight.
First and 10 from the 38-yard line. McCann wants to throw. Decides to run to his right and slides forward to the 39-yard line. He kind of went back and forth like that. Didn't look really confident as to what he was going to do. We've got an official's timeout as we've got a player down along the sidelines. Is that McCann?
I don't know. I can't tell from here, but you said that, and I was looking, and I missed the quarterback, and I was looking at the window here, and I got a window pane in the way, and I saw Davion Johnson shoot through there, and I thought that was the quarterback with the ball, and it wasn't. I don't know what's going on out there with the sails.
Helmet is off the player, and I'm just wondering if that's the scenario. If that is indeed Brooks McCann down along the far side of the field, we'll have to see. It's all the way across at the 40-yard line. I mean, they've already lost, you know, Berkey in this contest as well, too, and Franz went down with an injury as well, and the training staff attending to the player right along the wide sideline at the 40-yard line.
You just hope at this point it's nothing serious. I mean, it's a 38 to nothing game, and you just want to get out of here without anybody getting injured on either side. It's rough.
And right now they got the backup quarterback taking snaps. That's Carl McGowan, who's also a wide receiver. So McGowan taking snaps. Dan DiNapoli would be also a backup. He's just a sophomore. He's their JV quarterback. So you got to think that based on what we're seeing over there, that indeed that is Brooks McCann down on the field, because we see McGowan taking the snaps along the far side. Carl, 5'9", 195, and he alternates at flanker with Charles Quinn when they go with that flanker look. And again, we cannot continue play, even though technically he might be almost off the field to play. He's right there on the sideline, right in front of the St. Charles bench.
No, let's make sure we do this right and take care of him first and worry about the game later.
And for St. Charles, it has been a mash unit here in this contest. And the thing is, they have another game next week. They have to play Northwest, another team that is 6-2 and fighting for a playoff spot. We'll be working that game next week from Wall Plank Field. So we'll have to see who's left for the Cards at this rate. So attrition rate continues for St. Charles, a team that knew it was going to be a transitional year with Bob Jacoby taking over, Larry. And
absolutely.
As a coach, when you've taken over a program in the first year, what thoughts are going to go through your mind?
Well, the first thing you really have to do is you have to change the culture. And it doesn't mean from bad to good. It just means change the culture. You have to get your culture instilled. And I think Jake is going to do a good job of doing that. I mean, they're going to be hard-nosed. They're going to be tough. They're going to play hard-nosed football. And then it'll grow. That's the first thing you have to do. It's kind of like when you go to the Marine Corps. You know, they take everything else away from you, and they build you up in their manner. That's what you really have to do when you start a new program. You have to close the door on the last regime and start your own. And it's a tough thing to do, because I've had to do it a couple times, and it's, you know, the first year is usually ugly.
And St. Charles is a unique situation, too, because technically they're a program that can get kids from all over.
Yep.
But it's also a school where kids transfer out of but rarely transfer into.
Correct.
Because so many different things they have to deal with there. The academic standards are so high. I mean, for example, 4 years of Latin. So Bob Jacoby knew of the challenges. And here's a guy that did a great job taking over the St. Francis de Sales program in the past and now trying to build St. Charles back up again. Jeff Ferrien did a good job during his tenure as well, too.
Yeah, the difference with de Sales is he inherited a pretty good program here, too, at de Sales. You know, that hard-nosed, tough, you know, football was always a DeSales stallion thing. And you know, at St. Charles, it's just different because it's more transitional, and they're just going to have to learn to do it. And it'll happen. It'll take some time, but it'll happen. And he'll do a good job. He's a good coach. He knows football for sure.
If you're just joining us right now, it's 38-0 DeSales on top of St. Charles. There's 59 seconds left to go in the first half. It has been all DeSales in this contest. Booth took it in from a yard out. DeMaceo with a PAT, ninth place. 78-yard drive, 3:58 off the clock. It was 7-0. Then also in the first quarter, Booth from 16 yards out, 5 plays, 48 yards, 1:53 off the clock, made it 14-0. Then Silvestri on a little rollout, hit Booth 66 yards, and Booth went down the sideline, showed acceleration, and then extended his body across the goal line and got the touchdown and made it 21-0. That took 1:09 off the clock in just two plays. Then Dominic DeMaceo from 47 yards out, as they were going left to right in the second stanza, made the field goal to make it 24-0 as McCann helped off the field right now. Velasquez with a 30-yard interception return to add another 7 to the scoring column to make it 31-0. Then Silvestri, 50-yard pass to Arnold, and that was a two-play 43-yard drive that took 64 seconds. That made it 38-0. And a new quarterback in there indeed is Carl McGowan to run the show for the Cards. And he faces a second down and 9 from the 39-yard line. Hands it off to Davion Johnson and got to around the 40-yard line with second and third effort, and that's about it. And if you're St. Charles, are you willing to just keep it on the ground here?
Yes, you're trying to get into halftime. And DeSales isn't certainly going to stop the clock, so just go ahead and get into halftime, regroup, figure out who your quarterback's going to be, who your running back's going to be, and then go from there.
So it'll be third down, and they're going to mark it really back where it was at the 39-yard line. So it'll be third down and nine from there with half a minute left to go here in the first half. And
this will be the last play.
Fix is going to go to the bottom of the set. Flo Heiss is the tight end to the top. Wing to the bottom. Backs from an eye. And there's collision at the mesh point in the backfield, so McGowan is forced to eat the football back at the 37-yard line. That'll do it for the first half. And what an impressive performance by DeSales, up 38-0. With that being said, when we start the second half, we will have that continuous clock. Coming up at halftime, I think I'm going to have two special guests. I'm going to talk to Dan Gehrig, the principal here at DeSales, and then Jim Lauer, the St. Charles principal. So we're going to talk basketball, I think, at halftime, perhaps.
What would Lauer know about basketball? He only coached for 1,000 years.
And what about Dr. Gehrig, too?
He doesn't know anything either. I mean, they're both basketball coaches in the Catholic League. Heck, I once coached basketball that couldn't be that good. I mean, come on.
Remember when I said the count was 0-2 on you?
Strike three.
Swing and a miss.
Does that mean I'm out of here?
Is out of here.
I'll see you on down the road.
It is halftime here. The highlight around the quarter brought to you by the Mount Carmel Foundation. At the break, all the sales, 38-0 on the CCL Game of the Week, presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Because you